You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
And hi everyone, you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. I am Jerris, and I have now added my first name to my ID on Discord, so I am not Jerris Benoit, which is my first name. But I will continue to use Jerris or Garris because it's way easier for our foreign friends to say it. Because I am not one to pick fun at people with language difficulty, at least. So I am with Gaia that will participate tonight, and the topic will be mostly the mutilation on children, the genital mutilation on children, and of course we will not speak about those that have medical reason, but all the other one. So you are, as I was saying, listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com, and it is for me Saturday, 8th June 2019. And we will start as a, it is no tradition because it is the second time, the 15 minutes of 8. And because I, for one, like change, it is Gaia that will start it. Because it's fair that anyone can have a go at people that started this thing. So anyway, I will try to play the intro.
Hello, can you hear me? Good night.
Yes, yes, you can go on.
Yeah, okay. My date is not yet the 8th. It's 7th of June here still, 9 o'clock in the evening. Welcome, listeners. Jerris already did an introduction. And, I wouldn't call it really hate, but it was kind of funny that I was made famous against my will, but that's how it goes here at fakeologist.com, apparently. Where our good friend, I may use some sarcasm here, Unreal from Paris, just posted something today on the blog, or on the forum, actually. And because I addressed him, in the chat, in the Discord chat, about a thing that happened last year. And yes, I want to shine my light over it, and hopefully we can talk about it for a little bit. And it is that he is completely entrenched in his beliefs that he figured out a case of a so-called fake death. And that is the death of a friend, a personal friend of John Adams, of Hoaxbusters Call. And her name was Annette Carrion. And then people come, oh, Carrion, oh, that means like carry on. Yeah, it could mean that. It could also mean carrion, like what the vultures are eating, carrion feeders, so dead meat. Or it can just be a last name, right? I mean, there are many possibilities.
Yes, and
here.
Also, I will add that a carillon in French is a doorbell. Could be a doorbell.
Exactly, yeah. And in Dutch, we use carillon as well, but not... It's carillon, we say. And that is the church bells. Not unattractive biker babe lady. She died from a motorcycle accident in California, on the highway of California, on the winding roads of California. And this Unreal character, he looked into the story and he claimed it was completely fake. And not only that, he also accused John Adams of lying about it. And that's the thing. That's the difference. because we can analyze stories if we are being fed either by mainstream media or by other people or so, and then we can look into the stories and we can search for clues, and I think that's great, that it, we should do that. But that is not the same thing as proclaiming that it is a clear, definitive thing. And that is my problem with Unreal. What he does is he makes a claim based on a couple of points he researched, and then that claim is truth. And from that, he goes, everything is fit to that narrative. And that is exactly what the mainstream does. They present the narrative and everything else. If there's protests about different topics, different elements of the story coming up, then everything will be fit to that narrative. So there's no open mind. There's no I might be wrong kind of feeling. And that is my problem with Unreal, that he doesn't acknowledge that he might be wrong. We all might be wrong. There is no... it's all detective work here. We're all trying to go from clues that we're looking at, and it's not like we have figured it out. And the story goes that Annette Carrion, she was a sexy biker babe, and she allegedly died at age 33, which can happen. People die at age 33. That's not suspicious by itself. In the whole bigger story, when there is much more clue, many more clues, and so, yeah, there it may be one clue, one piece of the puzzle, but by itself, it's not suspicious, because people die at age 33. And then John Adams, he went to her funeral, because it was a friend of his wife, and he knew her personally. And he showed pictures of the funeral where he was in California on the Discord. Many pictures, like 50 pictures. And then people started accusing him of being a liar. And that's wrong. I mean, even in the case where this woman faked her death, which is what the Unreal claims, even then, it could be that she faked her death, and it was an empty coffin or whatever. And then John went to a funeral, and they put an empty coffin in the ground, and he was duped. So he doesn't need to be a liar. I mean, there's no ground to call him a liar based on even if the story is fake. And I don't believe it's fake, but Unreal believes it's fake. But the thing is that he wants to make it personal and wants to attack other people and becoming this real, what I call, ethic autist. In Dutch you call it Zolderkamer autist. Kind of stance where I am right and anything that goes against my view means that someone is a shill or an agent or a liar or whatever kind of attack. And that is the wrong attitude for anything we do here. Even if we talk about 9/11 deaths, it may well be that nobody died, nobody got hurt at 9/11 event, and that makes sense. It's a big event, and it's well prepared years in advance. But to take that as a blueprint for anything that appears in the local media, because this was not like a mainstream CNN story, nothing like that. It was in a local newspaper in California, nothing special. Then using that as a blueprint is false, and especially if you use it to attack other people, especially John Adams, who has brought so much wisdom and interesting subjects and book knowledge about so many topics in many years to the table for every one of us freely to consume. It's unfair to treat him like that, even if you believe it's a fake story. And the thing is, they use the argument that, yeah, well, she got 100,000 or something followers on Instagram. Yeah, well, if you're a hot babe, a biker girl with a YouTube channel and whatever from California, yeah, it would be even more suspicious if you don't have 100,000 followers, right? I mean, there are people, I know gamers who are ugly and clumsy gamers who have more subscribers on YouTube than she did. So that is, again, by itself, it's not an argument. Make the case, and well, I've seen all the arguments presented, and I'm not convinced that it's a fake story. But my point is, even if you think it's fake, it's not a ground to start attacking people, especially not people here who commit their free time to talk about things and to share their knowledge and all that, to call them liars or shills or agents or any kind of other that bullshit. And that is what Unreal now tried to do with me. He tried to call me some kind of an agent or a shill or whatever he wants. Whatever comes up in his mind. And my point is that there's a video out there, and you can look it up via Peace of Mindful. The topic on Peace of Mindful is called The Psychology of Thought Stopping. It is as of today, it is the 8th topic in the recent post, The Psychology Behind Thought Stopping. And in there is a mainstream video, it's completely mainstream, where they present information against any conspiracy theory. So anything is wrong. So 9/11, JFK, every alternative idea about any official story is wrong, and they use certain points against that. And some points of that are very bad and actually are boomeranged back to the mainstream stories, like falsification and other elements. But there's one point in it where they speak about how conspiracy theorists reinforce their own beliefs. And that is what I see with Unreal. It is using your own claim as an argument for your claim, which is the definition of circular reasoning. So he says it's fake, and then he uses that premise, he uses it as a premise for anything else, any argument, any commentary, anything that goes against that, that is fake. And that is the wrong attitude for any truth seeker, because we should have an open mind, even and especially for the possibility that we may be wrong, that our research is insufficient to be able to completely nail a case and say 100% sure this is false, and then as an effect of that, starting to accuse other people of being liars and spiritual murderers and shills and agents and whatever kind of attack they want to use. So that was
Andrew is correct though, Gaia. What if he's correct and you are an agent and I'm also an agent and everybody here are agents? Like, what if he's correct? Shouldn't he have the right to tell the truth?
I'm not saying he shouldn't have the right to say what he thinks is the truth. Of course not.
Yeah, like, what's it such a big deal if he believes we're all paid agents? Oh, well, that's what he believes. Why is it such a big deal?
Well, what I'm wondering is, why is that stance needed if we are already such a small group of people? I wouldn't call it community, but a small group of people who can work together and find new stuff out, spend our energy on finding clues to solve the puzzle and not attack the ones who are also trying to solve the puzzle.
But maybe this for him is the puzzle. Maybe for Unreal, the puzzle is discovering that everyone apart from him is a paid agent. Like, he has discovered his truth. This is the truth to him. He really believes it.
Isn't it a bit paranoid?
Yeah, but that's what the ACT realm, the alternative conspiracy truth realm, is all about. It's all about paranoia and fantasy. People get to have this fantasy that they're busting shills and cracking codes and all this kind of stuff. That's what people are here for. It's fun for them.
Not all of them, John. You know that. Not all of them.
No, not all of them, but a lot of them. They get off on this idea that they're playing some kind of game of spy. So it's fun for them.
Maybe. I won't say too much about Unreal precisely because whatever I wanted to say to the guy, I said to him privately, and I can say that I was kind of satisfied with his answer, at least on my case. So I will refrain to say much on the guy. To be honest, it's a safer position for me, since I take my claim to him and he answer him, and I answer back, so... I really hope that the guy is not still thinking that I am an agent or whatever.
But what difference does it make if he does believe that? He's just some dude in France, I think he's from, who believes that everyone's a paid agent. Big deal. Like, why does it matter?
To me, it matters. If the guy is saying online on the circle that I hang around that I am a paid agent, I think it's normal that I respond in the way that I think is useful. And
maybe that's all he wants. Maybe he's just trying to goad you. Like, maybe some people just use this stuff as a way to get attention. All right, they're very lonely people, so they know that if they accuse people of being shills or all this kind of stuff, that then they'll get a response and they can respond back. And this is entertainment, and it gives them attention, which is all they really want.
Yes,
you're right. Yes. I think that is the case. That's why we want to reserve it like Garris last week for the first 15 minutes and then move on to something interesting. Yeah, you're right.
Yes, exactly, which takes me to the next point. I wanted to say a few words to my friend questioning your reality, because that is something that I intend to do each and every week as long as I can. So, as usual, not that much was posted on his sad imitation of a blog. And, he did read a book, so... That's good for him. He read a book. And, of course, he chose a book that he did not like. He just chose a book to shit on. So I am really curious of the mind of an individual that read book he didn't like. I think that he only watched movies sure to hate. I think also that the guy is probably watching porn where people can just come. And I think that you are tired, pal. It's time to stop, my friend. It's over. So consider my offer, buddy. I will say the word of the week, which is polysomnography. So that was the word of the week. And I will now give you the phrase that I want you to work at home. And if you say this phrase enough time and that you ponder on it and you take the time to think about it, I think that you will consider my offer and... maybe try to do something constructive or even stop. So the phrase of the week is, je suis questionné notre réalité et je m'excuse d'être un rat. I'm going to repeat it one time because maybe you did not catch it the first time. Je suis questionné notre réalité et je m'excuse d'être un rat. You see, I am such a nice guy, I give you a few wrong things that you can say. So anyway, that was the phrase of the week and... the few words that I wanted to address to the guy, the 15 minutes of hate were clearly longer than we intended first. And also we had John LeBron contribution, so maybe he had some nice thing to say on the subject of today, which is the genital mutilation of children, like a
in your face.
Exactly, in your face, my bro, questioning our reality. So anyway, we want to discuss for at least an hour the genital mutilation of children, the reason behind it, do a quick go over on the subject. And we have Cody with us tonight that maybe will be able to enlighten us a bit because he seems to know a lot more at least than me on the subject. And we have Gaia, John LeBon, and original simulant with us, or Dangerous. And you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. So let's go, guys. Let's discuss the genital mutilation on children. What do you think about it? And what have you learned in the past few days about it that you want to share?
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way,
please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Good morning, good day, good afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are. My name's Velocet, in Australia. You're listening to the Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
So, Cody.
Yes.
Is your internet working?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yes, fine.
Okay. I'm on a cell phone network. Maybe it's going to stay connected well.
Maybe you will be cut off. Sorry, that was a pun. A very bad one.
Okay, so I didn't know I was going to get put on the spot, but I'll try my best. So to the Fakeologist community, the subject of what has been coined genital mutilation is definitely something that the Fakeologist community should be reserving a percentage of their brain cells for, because I do believe that violence persuasion of the populace is a part of the equation, and the genital mutilation is a part of the violence persuasion. When I say violence persuasion, it's just from the top down, advertising, marketing of violence, for the people upon each other, to, get the populace to inflict violence upon each other. I myself don't know the significance of it, but I know from the top down that it is encouraged, and genital mutilation is a part of it. And genital mutilation is an act that alters a person for a lifetime, and the effects many times cannot even be recognized, or you know, they will not even be recognized for a lifetime. People are lucky to recognize that they have been affected by the alteration that was inflicted upon them at birth. And whenever those people do come to recognize that their life is affected in some way, it's kind of like a truther moment, like a 9/11 moment. You know, they don't go back to the same way of thinking that they were before the revelation. And you know, the thing is, we're talking about, especially in America, it's an institutionalized, cultural, you know, a mother can just request that her son receive a circumcision, aka a genital mutilation, just because she prefers the looks of a circumcised penis. That is all it takes in America.
Oh, I will say that in Switzerland, all it takes is just the fact that it could be a family tradition. We are doing so, and there is not that much reasoning behind it. But to the effect of speaking of the reason behind it, I think also that it's for compliance reason. Like, if you get people to agree to mutilate their own children at birth, you know, it's like they are in on the crime, kind of. At least spiritually, in some way, you know?
To me, it is a feeling of I own you now.
Yeah, I own
your body and your most private parts. Sorry.
Right. The lie, you know, all it takes is to, in order to get somebody to be in your control, it just takes one lie, right? So, I mean, and this lie that we're talking about is a very egregious lie. You know, you're lying to people to get them to commit violence upon their own infants. And what I see in America is just a lackluster fog. Mentally, just people kind of walking. It's not really people guided by their own centered conscience. So that's just kind of the way, you know, to me, whenever you buy into so many lies, it's just a methodical, robotic society that becomes, you know. It's not really a individualized, higher level conscious society.
Yes, I totally agree with that. It's clearly a way to set the standard as soon as the child is born, and that could be a male child, and that will be mostly the case that we speak about today. But I acknowledge also that there is a female genital mutilation that happened in Europe also. Let's be honest, it happened in Europe, and not that much can be done about it in the end. But I will say that it's part of a culture, because I don't think that the mother are ill-intended or that they want something bad for their children. It's also the fact that if most people around you are circumcised, they want you to be integrated, you know? They don't want you to stand alone and be different and be made fun of. So sometimes it's just a decision of social pressure, and there is absolutely nothing nefarious behind it, or no will to control the destiny of a children or anything. And it's also something that is really difficult, in the sense that no one knows the difference. It's like it's a yes or no. You know, there is no one that can really tell you the difference. Firstly, because it's different by each individual.
Yeah. Cody, what is the response that parents give, or even non-parents who think about it, give to you when you talk about this topic and say, well, maybe you shouldn't do that, or maybe you present your arguments why that is not a good idea. What are their responses?
Well, I mean, in America, it's basically the mid-20th century academia and medical academia has found a way to, you know, institute some authority into this, you know. So we have the CDC who says that the benefits of circumcision outweigh the risks of circumcision 100 to 1. We have the World Health Organization who are advocating for circumcision, you know. So, I mean, people are going to, of course, always fall back. It's hard to argue with people, because our institution, our medical institutions, the gods in white, you know, are for circumcision.
Cody, yeah, have you had any success convincing people? Like, in all of your history of trying to talk about these topics with people, have you had any success at all in changing people's minds?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, like one kind of thing, you know, on social media.
But in terms of someone who is planning to circumcise, have their child mutilated, and then they chat with you and they don't do that, are there any instances that you can point to where there's been a dramatic change in their opinion?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm in a group who are, it's a group of activists, so like the amount of monitoring of social media and activism that goes along with, like if we've come across people who say that they're going to be circumcising their son soon, very
is it just me or is Cody going all robot? I can't hear any of you.
Yes. Yes, you are going to change the robot.
Yeah, yes.
So, yes, sorry, guys. I'm sorry. It's probably...
No problem. It's good. We most of what you were saying. I will speak of my personal experience. And like you say, it's the gods in white coats that did the job, you know? And also the fact that it was a family thing, so... I think that the factors were too important, at least in the case of my ex-fiancé, so to anything to be done. It was impossible to go against the will of the woman, which is crazy because considering that the woman does not have a penis, so I think it's pretty crazy that the decision can lie on the hand of a woman alone, even if the doctor is a man or anything like that, you know. I think that it's something that go also with the larger issue of parental rights, but just the fact that the woman alone can make such a decision that is decisive in the life of the children alone.
Man, women are allowed to decide whether the baby lives or dies. Women alone are allowed to make that decision. So this is nothing compared to the decision about whether the kid lives or dies, isn't it?
Well, actually, that's the same thing. I mean, the primary... decision maker for that thing, an abortion, should be the woman. Because it's her body. Right. I mean, we are not imposing our... We are not imposing...
Oh, so you guys are saying she should be allowed to kill it, but once it's been born, she shouldn't be allowed to choose to have it mutilated.
That's not what I'm saying. That's not my position. I mean,
but hold on, let's listen to Guy. That's what Guy just said. Is that what you're saying?
No. My position is, it is equally strange that a woman, a mother, can decide for the mutilation of a penis which he doesn't own, as a man can decide. Primarily, it's a mutual decision in the end, but primarily about something he cannot own that is a baby in a womb.
Okay, but I'm asking you, do you believe women should be allowed to murder the baby or abort it? Use whatever word.
Under certain conditions, I will agree that it's something that should be allowed. But,
so you have a problem. You have a problem with the mutilation once it's born, but the murder when it's in the womb?
No,
that should be her
murder,
right.
It's
the woman's right. She should have the right to do this.
It's murder once it's born.
Under certain conditions, and I am clearly not saying that I am the one to establish those conditions. I have, of course, my position on that, but... as I am saying, it's not a medical procedure that should be stopped altogether. It's something that should be available under certain conditions, I think. Because I don't think that the only goal of woman is to give life. In the end, someone else should have the right to own his own destiny. So what do you want to do? Continue a pregnancy that is very dangerous for the mother because it will be murder to kill the children. You know, there is some case...
What's this nonsense?
In the developed world, it's not dangerous for the mother.
When is
it
dangerous for the mother? What nonsense are you parroting to me right now?
Babies can live out of the womb at very early stages in pregnancy. The technology is there to where...
Just on its own, the baby could live outside the womb at a pretty underdeveloped stage, at least for a small amount of time.
But does can mean shoot?
No, I don't know. You know, the baby, it can't come out and sing and dance. But my gosh, it's still, like, alive. Like, the difference between it having to, like, pass out of the vaginal canal you know, if the difference of life and death is 12 inches.
Yes, but there is also,
you know,
there is also the question but there is also the question of the quality of life. You know, do you want to have your child by be a vegetable for 30 years wired to a machine? I would rather not.
What are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about?
I can't predict.
Oh, you never seen people in a coma in the hospital.
But like, what are you talking about?
Have you ever seen someone in a coma?
No, I'm asking you, what are you talking about? What does that have to do with anything? If women should have the right to decide whether the baby lives or dies, then everything that follows from that is clearly less significant, isn't it? So how can you, on the one hand, say she should have the right to kill the kid, or that she should not have the right to have it mutilated? Well, mutilation is one level down from murder, isn't it? So do you not see the contradiction in your position?
Not at all, to be honest.
No.
I think that it should be possible.
Well, that's not surprising to me, really.
I'm not saying that it should be done for cosmetic reasons.
You cannot see the contradiction in your position is no surprise to me.
No, take an analogy.
Oh, she should be allowed to murder the baby, but once it is born, she should not have the right to make a decision about it.
If it's not born, it's not murder. That's bullshit.
12 inches. The birth canal is the difference between murder and
To be honest, I will beg to differ a bit on that, because we had the discussion about the ultrasound, and I mentioned that I had the occasion to assist to a few of those, sadly enough. But anyway, I will not say that the child is not living until he is born. That is not true for me. I have seen those things, and those things I will say, okay, at first stage it's like a small piece of money, you know. But in the end, seeing the stage of development, I will not say that the baby is not alive, you know. I don't know how to say it. I will give you one example. At the later stage of the pregnancy, I was watching the UFC while my fiancée was sleeping. And I was so pumped up. You know, the fight was so good. I was kind of... I was very pumped up. And the baby kind of felt it, and he started to move into the womb of his mother. So I will think that at some stage of the pregnancy that I am not able to determine, I would to make that clear, the baby can be considered alive. There is no way to say that, because he is not out of the womb yet.
If the woman isn't pregnant, then the baby's not alive. If the woman is pregnant, clearly the baby is alive.
Clearly.
I mean, it's not alive if she's not pregnant. A condition of pregnancy is life. A living...
So you don't believe in stillborns? You don't believe in stillborns, then?
I don't believe she's pregnant when she has a stillborn child, and I wouldn't think any woman would either.
I wouldn't think if
a woman lost the child carrying it, and then, you know,
that shut you up pretty quickly, didn't it, Gaia? Have got any more logical fallacies to throw out there?
No, you're throwing a logical fallacy there, so it's... Yeah.
So are there long-running cultural psychological operations? What's the extent of the arc? What's the extent of the discussion as it pertains to, what are the parameters? If you want to,
I will say that
cultural psychological operations, and that might be one of them. You have a really nice broad platform to talk about. But if not,
I think that the definitive point, kind of for myself at least, is the question being at which point the soul is imprinted on the forming cell. You know, it is as soon as the sperm has entered the ovule of the woman. Or is it at a later stage, or, you know, is it something that we couldn't even determine as human? But to say that clearly abortion in any case or scenario is murder, I cannot agree with that. I really
can't. You can call it whatever you want, but the point is it's cessation of life. It's cessation of the life of the creature, whether you want to call it murder or not. So if you're saying that the woman should have the right to cease that thing's life, that's the right that she should have, but then she doesn't have the right to make decisions about the mutilation that comes afterwards. If you can't see the contradiction there, then you're every bit as stupid as I suspected.
Maybe I am.
I think you are. You need to reconsider your position here. Reconsider it. Can you do that?
Of course I can, but To be honest, you did not say anything yet that will make me reconsider my position. I am not seeing that as murder.
What you
I
said was the woman murder. Should not have the right to decide on the mutilation. You said that's not a right that she should have.
Look,
okay, so we're talking about rights. The executive has the right to end this creature's life.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hello, this is Ponoku from Honolulu, Hawaii, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
So if you want to talk about rights, you've got to be consistent, right? Try and get a consistent framework going. If you're saying that she has the right to end its life, that's the right that you think she has.
No,
how can you then say, oh, but she doesn't have this other right?
It's preventing a life from happening. That's a different thing.
But my point is that...
Oh, Jesus, man. Come on.
So, Guy, again, you're going back to claiming that the fetus is not alive, is what you're going back to claiming.
No, it's preventing a life.
No, you see, as soon as you're questioned about your fetus,
a human being, because preventing a human being to become in this world, to come into this world. That's
but it's alive. And what I was talking about was ceasing life. And you agree that the fetus is alive. So, once again, you make a stupid claim, and the moment you're challenged, you change the story.
No.
Yes. Yes, because you haven't thought through this very well.
No. Once it gets born, it is a human being. Before that, it's a fetus by definition.
And it's alive. It's alive as a fetus.
It's in the world because its mother's in the world. If you're in your car, you're still in the world. You know what I mean? You're not like, oh, I'm in the car. No, I'm no longer in the world anymore. I mean, you're still in
the world. Yes, but I will give you one quick case, and I am not an obstetrician or whatever. I just have two children, so my experience is very limited. So, as we all, in the end, because we will never give birth to children, at least I hope so, for the sake of all of us, at least I hope so. So, anyway, the thing is that if you were to have a woman that is leaking blood, because that happened, I know the case happened, leaking massive blood, so you know that the doctor is not stupid. He knows clearly that the woman is leaking blood for the place where the children in, you know? So, what do you want to do? You want to keep the children in the belly of the mother, even if you are, it's clear that the children will have no chance to live, or you will give the chance for the mother.
Why would they have no chance?
A very difficult decision that will change her life, I agree. And that you can say it's murder if you want, but...
Yeah, but that situation does not require medical intervention. That it just if she's having a miscarriage, she just has a miscarriage. It doesn't require the doctor to do anything, you know?
Yeah, the body can spontaneously abort, but you don't need to, like, prevent the spontaneous abortion with abortion. You don't need to murder to dissect, you know? It's like, you're not going to save anything. You're not saving anybody by killing them.
To be honest, it's a very difficult question because I don't really trust any doctors in any way. So it's a very difficult question. But as I say, it's some things that need to be examined on the case-to-case basis. You cannot make such a blank statement as saying it's murder. The doctors that do that should be even, you know, removed from the profession and the procedure should be forgetted altogether. I would say that it's too much of a blank statement.
Jess, can I ask you a question? Is free will a joint choice? Is it a choice between the affected and the person who makes the choice? So if a child may or does have free will that they're not conscious of because they haven't had self-realization, so is free will a joint operation between the parents and the child? When does that start?
Are you going to suggest that the child is asking to be aborted? Is this where this is going to lead to? Because I don't see how it cannot lead to it. Like,
no, you guys are the one talking about abortion. I'm talking about...
No. I'm just asking if that's...
Yeah, not at all. No. That's a good point, Russ. I'm saying that that's what keeps coming up here is choice. Right? So the long-term effects are my penis is different. And so what happens? You know, what is the net effect and what's the culture of it? That's all I'm asking.
First thing I will say is that I am a human and I am different from my son for reasons that are totally stupid and that make no sense. So that is one thing I will say that make a big difference, you know, at least for me. I am not the same and I am not the same man as my son, you know. I am different from him. So it's something to consider. The trauma is something to consider, even in the case of... of pregnancy or whatever, I don't really think that this blank statement is the way to go, like I said. Because, of course, you can force a mother to have the child and take it away from her because she's totally out of her mind or whatever. But in the end, there is no possibility to make such a blank statement. You will end up having to tie up mother to the bed for like the sixth last month of the pregnancy and force them to give life and take the children away.
Why does that have to happen?
Because if a woman wants to stop the pregnancy, she can do it and she don't have to tell anyone. It's your choice in the end.
This is the thing that I think is tenuous about it, is that I think the parents, any decision about the child should be the parents' decision. Regarding the children.
Yes, of course, but we know clearly that's not the case. Yes, but it's clearly not the case because you can have some on a free access some pill to abort. You know, the next morning pill. It's not something that you need a man to go with you to the pharmacy to buy.
I understand that. But I'm just saying that's what.
I can go into town right now and bang a random girl. And come into her, and she can go to the pharmacy tomorrow morning and have the next morning.
It's not pregnancy.
So yes, but it's the same anyway. If you are considering the position that they are taking, that GLB was taking, I think, and I am sorry if I put words in his mouth, but I will say that for him, life started the first cellular division, first contact, you know. So, of course, it's my responsibility to not come into a random girl. But does it mean that, you know, it's not something that that I am obligated to be present when she is doing. So, in the end, it's a personal responsibility question. And if he were to be a sin to abort, the sin is on the mother alone most of the time. Because if you are not knowing anything about the situation and... You are not participating in the crime, except maybe the sin that you are doing is coming into a girl that you don't really know or that you are not sure of her attitude. You know.
What we were talking about was a medical procedure or a mutilation after it has been born. So after the decision of at least both parents or at least the mother. Has been taken that child should be born. To compare that to a decision-making process where ideally both parents, but at least the mother, should take a decision beforehand, is not justified. Because at that moment that the mutilation of this little baby boy was done, at that moment the decision was taken that this life should be on Earth.
Okay, hold on. Let's imagine a situation where somehow you could circumcise the baby while it's inside the womb, like pre-birth circumcision. You know, now all of a sudden has it become now justified? Fine, no problem. Because in the mother not. But it's not being mutilated. It's not even a creature.
Firstly,
it's just like the same as the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
It will require a certain stage of development. Firstly. So I will think that at the stage of development where it could be even possible, and it's an hypothesis, of course, but at the stage of development where you would imagine that it would be possible to circumcise a child in the womb, I will say that at that time the decision of abortion is beyond that, you know? The child is supposed to be
the question, Russ, is why do you want to circumcise that baby boy in the womb before it gets born.
No, it's a thought experiment. Mm-hmm.
I understand your experiment, but why? What is your rationale for it?
Why don't want to?
Because they can. Because,
why don't?
Frankly, I will say that it's mostly because the doctor can do it. I will say that they will do it just because they can, if they could.
Why would you think that?
Because it's new, because it's illegal.
But if you use that argument, you can hack off a leg and say, after it gets born, I can do it. Why do I need a rationale for it? That's stupid.
Well, no, what JLB's saying, which is very, I mean, come on. It's inescapable. Like, if the parent, if the mom can choose whether the baby even survives or, you know, this is a secondary choice. It's like criticizing the leaves when the tree is the problem.
No. I make an analogy. It is the difference between taking a photo and publishing it. You can take photos of nude women or something like a murder or gross, gruesome stuff, but the choice to publish it, so that's the birth, that's a different thing. Then you
don't have a choice. You don't have a choice to have birth. That baby's coming out one way or another. I mean,
that's
the
whole thing we talk about. That's the whole thing we talk about. Abortion is choice.
No, I will give you an example. I did not use condom with my fiancé. And if she were ever to get pregnant, it will be a very happy thing. I will consider it an happy moment, really, because of course I am also going to marry her. But the thing is that I did not use condom and she did not get pregnant yet. So whatever, maybe she go to the hospital and get an abortion and I don't know anything about it. You know?
What if she gets raped? If she gets raped by someone and she gets a child and it's not your child, I mean, don't you think there should be a decision made? Well, maybe this shouldn't become life.
That's not
no, because life is too important. I would say that it's not a good excuse.
So you will accept if your girlfriend gets raped and then you get a child together, which is not your child, you will accept it.
Not break up with her anyway, you know.
That's fine. It's your choice.
She probably dressed wrong, you know.
But don't make that choice for other people.
I'm not trying to make a choice for other people. What I'm trying to say that, like JLD is saying, if the person already has the capacity to administer life and death, the choice of life and death, then every other choice that follows is less significant.
Well, we have that as humans.
That's just an obvious.
That I agree. I totally agree.
Conversation. So let's get to the talk. Let's talk about the psychology of it. And is it a long-running group psychological benefit or detriment to an individual? Is there anything that needs to be changed? Are men insecure about it? Yes or no? I mean, the discussion could be very broad. Just saying.
I will say that it depends on the environment, because if you are in a Muslim country, be circumcised will not present any issue. Not that you are supposed to show your genitalia to any individual, but in the event that it happened, it will not seem strange to anyone. But in the other hand, if you are like me, uncircumcised, and you were to travel to the United States and end up having to show your genitalia to whatever, I don't know, doctors maybe, because I don't think that doctors is many adult male uncircumcised.
Showering with a sports game, right?
Yes, whatever. Anyway, I think that it clearly depends on where you are on the planet and who you are showing your personal parts to also.
Yeah, I mean, of course, if everybody in the world was uncut, natural body, then there would be no uncomfortableness. But now that some people are cut and some people are, you have to stay. You're limited to your little region right here, right? You don't have aspirations to go to Europe or wherever where people are not cut or whatever and find a woman or a mate. So a lot of people are disgusted with the women in America, but that's all they have choice to, you know, because the women in America prefer men.
Can I ask Cody, are you circumcised?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, but the thing is that there is some communities wherein you can clearly never enforce any ban of circumcision. Mostly the Jews and the Muslims will be the first two one that come to my mind, but I know that there is clearly other religious denomination that practice circumcision, and you will have a very, very hard time to change the mind of those people.
How long has this been in the practice in the United States? Well, you guys probably don't know, but it's rampant in the United States.
It got started, the military started, as far as, secular-wise and, from coming from the government, it came from, the military starting it out.
When 100 years ago, 200 years ago? I mean, like, do you think, it's difficult to think that maybe 200 years ago, 70% of the children were circumcised, or whatever the statistic is.
No, World War II, World War II, man.
So how can the military decide about children, babies? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, for adults, okay, but...
Well, I mean, if you get... It's kind of like, if the military cuts you, there's something with the human psyche that you're going to pass down your trauma to your... To the next generation.
Yes, and to add to the subject, the name that stands out to me is P.C. Remondino, and he was the first guy to say that circumcision, well, not the first, but the most adamant and the most vocal, I will say, and the first one that people listen to, that say that the surgery can prevent many diseases, as I will read a few of them, because it's very funny. If it was not that sad, it will be funny, at least. So, including alcoholism, epilepsy, asthma, enuresis, hernia, gout, rectal prolapse, rheumatism, kidney disease, and so forth. So, if someone cares to explain me how you can treat rectal prolapse by circumcising someone, I'm really interested in knowing that, you know?
That's the other question I had. Is there any reasoning presented for the need for this, aside from this cleanliness or whatever thing? Is there any other kind of pitch they have?
The claim that I just read to you was reprinted in 1974 without change. You know?
Yeah.
So the physicians are still referring on that to something that is more than 100 years old.
Cody, please.
Yeah, exactly. The medical literature took a very long time to catch up. They were propagating like 19th or 20 early 20th century pretty much conspiracy theories for the people who started circumcision. They had all of these wild ideas to get circumcision started, like Jairus was just saying, and all of that continued way up into the 70s before the medical literature kind of embraced their tune.
Yeah, but my complete stupefied position is that why only in the U.S.? I mean, here in Colombia, as far as I know, it's not practiced at all. In Holland, I know, it's not practiced at all. Apart from the... we're not talking about the religious communities. And we're talking about general people. Like Christians or atheists or whatever. I mean, not Muslims and Jews. They have their own religious stuff. But non-religious circumcision outside of the U.S. is not standard. How come it is so standard there?
You'd have to look at like hospital birth statistics and all that stuff, too. But I imagine they're similar, right? In the hospital birth, it's just something they're like, they just toss it out there. Just like you said.
Like an automatism thing. But it's not the case here, right? I mean, why?
Let me ask you, in South America, how prevalent is whenever women go to give birth and they get...
It's 90% hospital.
Yeah, do they get the spinal tap thing? Whatever, I forget what it's called. Where
epidural.
Like an injection thing. I don't know. I'm not knowledgeable about that. I don't know.
Right. I mean, your culture is kind of coming up. The natural way to give birth is in a squatting style. I mean, humans for millions of years. They never laid down on a freaking table and received numbing medication You know, everything
narcotics.
That's coming in about, yeah, everything that's coming about in America, circumcision, epidurals, the way we give birth, vaccines, you know, it's all about some private corporation lobbying the government is pretty much what it is.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm LSD33 from Nouveau Brunswick, and you are listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat live stream on Fakeologist.com.
Cody, I mean, I understand that, but all the other factors, the vaccinations, the injections, back injection, medical supplements, like laying down on a bed, all that stuff is happening in all other countries in the world, in the UK, in Holland, in France, in Spain, in Colombia, wherever, it doesn't matter. So how can it, in Canada? And Canada and U.S. are pretty close in terms of their culture and all that stuff. How can it be that in the U.S., and only the U.S., non-religious circumcision is so prevalent, and in all the other countries where all the other factors are present, it's not?
Is the doctrine of separation of church and state present in those other countries?
Catholic Poland, come on, of course.
I mean, the people in a country, in a society, are going to do what the herd mentality pushes people to do, and people are pushed by, especially back in the 40s and the 50s, which whenever circumcision started, you know, they were having advertisements about cigarettes are good for your health, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what happened, is people are swindled into these lifestyles. It started back in the 40s and the 50s. All, you know, circumcision in America started.
How did that start? So it was the military that started circumcising adult men, or were they saying to the adult men who became fathers, you have to circumcise your boy? Or how did that start?
Both. They circumcised the men, and then they used their media powers to manipulate the culture and people into accepting the practice.
Okay, then I got my answer. I mean, it started with the military circumcising adult men, and by their propaganda campaigns, those adult men, when they became fathers, they also did to their boys. And then the difference between the U.S. and other countries, even Canada or Mexico, which are close by, is that the propaganda was focused on Americans, and in those other countries, that propaganda and that practice of circumcising adult men was not there. Is that right?
For the few things I had the chance to read in preparation for this audio, for my understanding is that a few people that were respected made the claim, and it followed on, you know? It was never disputed, and maybe also the influence of some religious community was more stronger at the time in those regions. I don't really
think that it was... Vaccinations. I mean, vaccinations are copied all around the world. Every country does vaccinations. It's not restricted to a certain country. And they all do the same. They all copy each other and blah, 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 and studies and blah, blah, blah. Same thing, right? But with circumcision, non-religious circumcision, that is only restricted to the U.S., and that is strange.
Yeah, it is strange. But you have, in the U.S., you have, again, a separation, like a church and state, right? So where you could, where in religious countries, they could say, like, this circumcision stuff is all Jewish and Muslim. We're not doing that crap. We're Anglican here, you know, or something. Like, here, it's like Odyssey, and you have the military who says that they, you know, conducting all kinds of weird experiments anyway. They believe that people get less syphilis, you know, men get syphilis less or something, gonorrhea less if they're circumcised. So, ergo, you know, roll out the public practice of that.
So, was there like a big psyop, like a big syphilis epidemic in the U.S. or something like that that they used as a pretext for worldwide circumcision or so? I mean, was there?
I don't know. I mean, they didn't give me the paper.
No, I know. But
I don't know.
Just curious.
Like, but this was at the end of World War II. I hope, you know, there'd be a lot of people traveling around having sex with a lot of women.
Yeah, only Americans traveled around and had sex with other women, of course, yeah.
Well, whatever country. Well, I mean, you guys were having sex with each other, so, you know.
Okay.
But, so what about the medical side? What, just purely from a standpoint of how does a man, how does it affect his livelihood, sensitivity to sex, to stimulation? Cleanliness, as you were talking about. So that's a really good 2 hours worth of conversation right there. So
weird 2 hours.
Anybody, yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? So I mean, that's a big component. That's what we're not, some people don't really want to talk about, because it could be that it does affect some things about a man that he doesn't have any choice. You can't put it back. And if you did, it'd be fake, right? It would be in some way, even if it grew in and it was grafted, it wouldn't be your fullest real, super truthful real. You know, it would just be your best alteration that you didn't choose. So that's an argument that can be made. It could also be said that it's even better. Who knows? It might make people too stimulate, so that it become too, it might just make sex too good. So who knows? Have to find the data.
Really? Does anyone
see,
believe
that's
that?
Even, it's possible somebody said it.
How is it possible? How is that possible? How is it possible that removing that part of the body could make it work better? Explain that to me. I'm all ears.
I will be totally, it will be totally impossible for me. But of course,
I mean, it's like everything.
If I was missing the pinky toe, I will probably find some idiot in the internet that also miss the pinky toe, and that will make the claim that it's more aerodynamic or whatever you want, you know?
No, to answer John's point, I'm not speaking from experience, of course, but what I've heard is that it makes the orgasm, it extends the time that you can have sex before you reach an orgasm, because it's less sensitive. I'm not advocating this, but that's what I've heard.
Wait,
I mean,
why would that be considered a good thing?
Yes, in the end, be less sensible must be awful.
What I'm asking is, does it affect that? And what would the parameters that were the extremes of that? And does it matter to a man if he can only experience what he has? So if you try to reverse it and add it back, what difference does it fucking make? Yeah. So, I mean, there's the physiology, there's the sensitivity, there's its purpose being dual, to get rid of waste, to place it inside of a yoni.
You can keep your change in there too sometimes. Like, I got my cigarettes and my lighter.
But the case is that for every new disease that come on, they will tell you that circumcision is the way, best way to avoid it, you know? Like, they started to say that AIDS was a thing, and that I don't believe, to be honest. I don't really believe that AIDS is a thing. But anyway, It's another subject. They will tell you that if you are circumcised, you are less likely to catch AIDS.
Yeah, that's a good question, Cody. Was there like a boom in circumcision after the 1980s when AIDS was pushed? Do you know that?
Who's spreading this meme that circumcised people don't get AIDS or that they're less likely to get AIDS? who's spreading this meme?
Well, the doctors.
It's bullshit. We know that.
People
we know
are
that.
Dumber than anybody. They don't need any help.
The World Health Organization is pushing it. And we're just finding out, just recently, the villages where they really focused on in Mozambique and Zambia, those villages have had a significant spike in AIDS here in the past few years. But the that story is kind of kept under wraps. I forget the name. The name of the African organization, I forget it, but the reporting is clear that the circumcision it causes people to act irresponsibly because of the lie that is pushed that people are pushing that it's pretty much a vaccine against AIDS. If you get circumcision, you will prevent having AIDS. Getting AIDS, so it's obviously a lie, and it's a dangerous lie.
So they used the AIDS scare in Zambia and Mozambique to circumcise more men, and the effect of that was that men had unprotected sex more with women because they thought they couldn't get AIDS because they were circumcised. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Are people in Mozambique just the dumbest people in the world? Why are they doing these experiments in Mozambique and you know, and these people can't figure
out? You know the answer to that, your farmer.
Oh, my gosh. No, well, I don't know the answer to that. But like, they can't figure out, they're beyond.
I mean, you're coming from the U.S., man. I mean, you're 70% circumcised or so, right? I mean, come on.
They told the American people that circumcision was going to prevent so many disorder. They every 10 years they would come up with some crazy, you know, preventative measure that circumcision, and the American people bought into it. So I mean, it doesn't really hold water. That for some reason people, they have this authoritarian. They give over their
trust
decision making. They give over their trust to these supposed authoritarian figures. It happens. It's happened to Americans. It's happening to Africans.
And they give it over to their mother, who could have them aborted too. But we're not supposed to talk about that.
Well, true.
Anyone think there's
more
to it than, you know, the woman? This patriarchy thing is just falling apart. She can circumcise, man. Starting to see a pattern emerge.
Yes. Yes. I can see where you are going. It may be the case.
Yeah, maybe.
No, but let's be honest. I mean, we all know that carriers is a big problem, right? So what if we could just pull out the teeth of a young kid after 10 years of age, more or less, when they have switched their milk teeth, and then replace it with fake teeth, like old people have? I mean, that's great. We can prevent caries. Right? Isn't that great?
Yes, it's some of the same thing.
The myth of prevention says that you can make something in the future, which you really have no control over, not happen by doing something in the present. How do you prove it? You know? Well, it didn't happen.
Yeah,
okay, I mean, like you're saying, yeah. Huh. Okay.
It's a ridiculous thing to do to an infant baby who's 2 years old, just for the reasons of maybe preventing HIV for, you know, in the event that this individual is a very sexually promiscuous person involved in sexual acts that have high levels of chances of contracting HIV, you know.
A two-year-old baby?
A two-day-old baby.
I really fail to believe that AIDS is a real disease. I know people that live with AIDS, and I don't think there is really any truth to this.
Yeah, I agree, Gareth, but in the end, that is irrelevant to the scare they are putting on us, right? I mean,
yes.
These parents
yes.
who circumcise their children believe that HIV and AIDS are real, or AIDS is
yes.
caused by HIV. I mean, AIDS may be real, but it is not caused by a virus, probably. But in the end, it is irrelevant, because the practice, it's the scare that is used as a justification of the practice.
But are there people out there who seriously are circumcising their child because of the World Health Organization, and if they realize that that was a hoax, or that the World Health Organization was misrepresenting the data, that they would change their mind? Like, is this actually a determining factor for people out there? Or are they just using it as a justification for what they were going to do anyway?
No, it's social pressure, I will say. The fact that the doctor is saying that it's a good thing. The doctor take it from the World Health Organization, maybe, or from some other medical source, but people will agree about anything, you know? How many people will ask for a second opinion when the doctor says that they must be cut and sliced open to extract something, and, you know?
That's a good question. Maybe Cody, if you can, maybe in your experience, can answer that. How do doctors react when they are presented with medical studies, like from the Lancet and so-called authoritative studies that show that the effect of circumcision is not at all so great, and that is not improving anything in terms of medical problems and so.
Well,
how do
I
react?
I can't speak in a general sense, but from the reports that I see often on social media, a hospital setting the hospitals will attempt several times throughout the stay of the parent inside the hospital. They will send multiple nurses and multiple doctors to give like a hard sell of the circumcision, even though the parents are declining. And it's basically through this particular example, the reason why it's being done is it's money. They sell they get money from the circumcision procedure, and they get money from selling the foreskin that is cut off to the cosmetic corporations and biological testing corporations. So it's a hard sell. They want to get that money. That's where we're at in America.
And were you able to trace that money chain? Like, what is the real incentive for a doctor and a nurse group to do that? I mean, did you make it comes from the Rockefeller Foundation or whatever? Where that money perspective comes from?
I mean, where we're at in America is still really early stages, but I mean the corporations that are selling the cosmetics and the corporations that are buying the foreskins or whatever it's called, it's I can't tell you off the top of my head, but it's happening. I mean, so all we got to do is just figure out the names of those places. This is really just a grassroots, very bottom up thing that's happening in America. Nobody wants to talk about this. Nobody, you know.
So you are saying that there is a big market?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's a.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hello, this is SMJ, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
People have been talking about stellar cult traditions for thousands of years. I don't really have any interest in family psychology or sociology hot topics. I think I'm just going to take off. Y'all have a good conversation.
Okay, so that was the definition that just leave us at that. And yes, I will say that it's mostly social pressure, and maybe some people are more gullible than others to propaganda. But in the end, they can even say that your child has a small problem with his penis, and that it's better for him to do the intervention right now, and you know. They can say whatever. I will say that you should not believe the first opinion of a doctor and seek a second one in any case if you can afford it.
Yeah, and if what my thesis is that circumcision is also used as a pretext for other medical procedures against your will, like vaccinations. So I would like to ask, maybe Cody knows, I don't know, but... how is that? Is there more susceptibility from people who are circumcised to also receiving vaccinations, or the other way around? That people who are not circumcised and refuse that, or parents who refuse that, that they also refuse vaccination, they tend to refuse that more? Or is there any trend in that to see that the people who don't like vaccinations also don't like circumcision, and the people who don't like circumcision also don't like vaccination? How is that? Do you know anything about that? The correlation, that was the word, correlation. You're speaking, but I cannot hear you. Maybe the others can.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, my Wi-Fi just kicked in and messed up. From my experience, the group of people who are very focused on being activists against circumcision. They have a very myriad of views and opinions on many topics. Many people are anti-vaccination, meaning lots of people are Republicans, Democrats, Muslims, Jews. This particular issue brings together people from all walks of life. So as far as the anti-vax, it's an argument that goes on inside of the community. To me the anti-circumcision community is the one community that has the very widest array of thought of thinking amongst people. So, I mean, I don't really see any correlation. I mean, even we fight about the pro-life and pro-choice. We're very divided in that arena too. So.
Yes, and I would think that there's a lot of difference between those two subjects, because people that parents that are wanting the best for their children might vaccinate them and not circumcise them, or the other way around. You know, it's like you never know which narrative they will buy and which one they will not.
All right, good point. Yeah.
Can I ask Cody a question? Cody, this World Health Organization claiming that circumcision makes it less likely that someone will get HIV, have you looked into their studies to see, like, what are the studies that this claim is based on? Have you looked at these studies?
Yeah, I mean, they're studies that are brought forward by the World Health Organization, but they are very highly disputed by many medical associations. But see, you can't propagate the naysayers, you know. So that's the thing, is in the people's mind, the World Health Organization is the final voice, even though you present to many to all the people that, well, many other dispute the studies. Nobody, very few people are going to listen to you. You know, people always fall back on the highest authority level.
Yeah, I agree with you. No one's going to listen. People don't change their minds very often. But I'm just looking at one of these studies, one of these so-called studies from the World Health Organization that they cite as evidence for their claim. And I'm reading it. I've just put a link to it in the live stream show notes. What stands out to me is this randomized controlled trial involved adults, the men who were circumcised and then the ones who were not circumcised in the control group. They were all 18 to 24. So in other words, even if you want to use this study as evidence that circumcision reduces HIV, if that's the argument they want to make, that's great. How come the kids can't just get circumcised when they're 18? Because that would be in line with the study. It has nothing to do with neonatal circumcision. This is the point I'm trying to make here. The study that they're using to claim that circumcision results in lower rates of HIV, that study has nothing to do with neonatal circumcision. It's with adult circumcision. So why not let the baby be free, and he can make his decision when he's 18?
Is that the same one that says that the HIV is lessened in cases of men having sex with men, too? Because that's the one that I was reading about.
The one that I'm reading isn't about homosexuality. It's meant to be about heterosexuality, from what I can tell. We can see, I've posted a link to the full study in the show notes.
Yes, but the point that they're making to do that on children is that it's less painful. Because I had a friend that...
and what's that based on? What kind of nonsense is this? What kind of idiot could possibly believe that?
I'm just telling you how it is for people. And to give you a quick example, I had a friend that did this when he was an adult in his early 20s for a religious reason. And he said that the pain was just unbearable, that he woke up the next morning, he was at home, and that he started to have a small hard-on, you know, like when you wake up, and that he passed out on the floor of his bathroom, you know? So, can you imagine the pain?
Imagine how the pain is for a child. Yeah.
Yes, and a child cannot rationalize this, you know? Yeah. And a child is not able to have a rationale of this, you know? Because my friend has the belief that God was supporting him to hold him, you know, to support him in this bad time. But what does these poor kids have? Nothing, you know? It's like an horrible thing, and everyone around them seem to be really happy about that. And that's
right,
the greatest thing ever.
Unconscious. If you listen to the accounts of people who've been there when this goes on, the babies will scream themselves unconscious.
It was believed and widely distributed. It was the belief that babies, infants, didn't feel pain.
That's what I'm saying, though. What kind of morons could ever believe such nonsense?
Well, the doctor. Until the 1980s, this was the...
That's what we're dealing with here. Anyone who believes this nonsense is a moron, straight up.
They're kind of worse than a moron.
There's no point mincing words here. Anyone who believes that a baby can't feel pain is a moron, straight up.
Yes.
No need to try and have a reasonable conversation with this person. You're not dealing with a reasonable
those
person.
People are
you are dealing
even,
with a moron. Straight up.
A dangerous person, I would say.
I mean, what John LeBon posted now, I've shared it in the show notes. He posted it in live stream chat. But it's a study that is done, like he pointed out, only among adults and only in South Africa. So how can you use such a study ever to talk about babies in the United States? That it doesn't make any sense from any scientific point of view.
Do you want to hear the American Academy of Pediatrics policy statement concerning circumcision? Because it clearly breaks it out that it's a choice, which is somewhat different than vaccinations in that, you know, you can flee the hospital with the baby or something, but this is clearly an elective choice, right? It says male circumcision is a common procedure generally performed during the newborn period in the United States. In 2007, the American Academy of Pediatrics formed a multidisciplinary task force of AAP members and other stakeholders to evaluate the recent evidence of male circumcision and update the Academy's 1999 recommendations in the area. Evaluation of current evidence indicates that the health benefits of newborn male circumcision outweigh the risks and that the procedure's benefits justify access to this procedure for families who choose it.
Yeah, and then still, if you take all that statement, then still, I fail to see how other doctors and medical professionals in all other countries except the U.S. cannot have taken that over. There is something really odd in that.
Did they not know that the specific benefits identified included prevention of urinary tract infections, penile cancer in babies, of course, transmission of some sexually transmitted infections, including HIV? There you go. It's ridiculous. People are insane.
Yeah, and this is why I try just to break it down to the simple points. It's like, well, if somebody can say to you, the baby doesn't feel the pain, then why even try and engage in a serious conversation with that person, yeah? Or if someone says to you, oh, it's better because it reduces HIV, okay, what's your evidence for that? Oh, someone told me. Did you check what their evidence was? No, you didn't, okay? So you know you're dealing with morons, and that, of course, is what most people are. They're complete morons, which is why I asked Cody earlier on, have you had any success talking to somebody who wants to mutilate their kid and convincing them not to? Like, have you had any success as an individual? And I don't mean this to say that you shouldn't talk about these things. I think you should. I think it's fantastic that Cody does, and I think it's good that Guy and Jairus wanted to talk about this topic. It's good. But I'm just trying to point out that most people are complete morons. And when you listen to what they're saying, you can tell that. Just listen to what they're saying. Anyone who tells you a baby can't feel pain, that person's a moron. But aren't they? I mean, how can you justify such a stupid claim?
Yeah.
You're dealing with morons here. These people are one level above bonobos. And even bonobos, I don't think...
Like,
no, monkeys,
care more
the monkeys mutilate their own babies? Yeah, I doubt it.
I don't think that any species is stupid enough to do such a thing.
No.
They rather eat them. Even than to just mutilate them.
Yeah.
Of course, though, of course, if you were to walk past a bunch of orangutans or chimpanzees out in the wild and you noticed there was a woman there, like a female, and then you noticed that she had a bunch of other creatures around her helping to murder what was inside her or kill what was inside her, you'd think those creatures had lost their minds, wouldn't you? But that's happening every day all around our world, and it's totally cool, totally normal. We're told that it's a good thing that this happens, and there are all these benefits that follow, and it's a rights issue for the female, all this kind of crap. We live in a bizarre world.
Yes.
No, yes, I think if an ape would be able to assess the risk for the mother and then be able to abort a child if they can save the mother, then probably it would happen, yeah.
I think if an ape were able to assess the risk and then it came to that conclusion that it needed to do that to save the mother, then clearly it only proves that the ape is not actually able to assess the risk, and in fact the ape is retarded.
Or that it's just an ape. It's just a very primitive primate. And this idea of the risk for the mother, how about the risk for the baby? If you decide to go with abortion, there is 100% risk for the baby. 100%.
50%.
It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. There's no need to evaluate the risk or get a doctor with a white coat to tell you, oh, there's a risk here. No, that's 100% guaranteed the baby's dead. Straight up.
I would think that it's the most horrible. It's supposed to be the, I think at least it's it need to be the most terrible decision that a woman ever makes. But I think that, like you said, people are morons, and we cannot underestimate the stupidity of some woman around that will sleep around with anyone and consider an abortion and
what if they need to do the abortion to thing. Save the baby? Then is it justified?
You mean like
what?
Provoked,
well, that's about as sensible as the other shit.
Come on.
We're gonna. Well, I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Where is this notion that there's a risk to the mother, so that's why abortions are happening? Who's spreading this meme? Where's this coming from?
That's the problem. The same people that will tell you to take a vaccine and an ultrasound and all of these things. And that's the main problem, is that it's horrible, I think, for a mother to hear something like that and, you know, to take in consideration all the different part of the problem. I think that it's something that must be awful and the worst thing to live for a woman, to have to consider taking this kind of decision. But like,
there are long-term consequences. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there are long-term consequences for mothers or for women who decide to get abortions. Okay, their health outcomes after the pregnancy are worse than for women who have not gone through abortions. This is not a widely known thing.
I have a friend, a female friend from Holland, and she had an abortion. Why? Because she had a child, or a fetus, not a child, with a guy that was not eligible to become father. And later, after the abortion, years later, she found a man and she has two healthy children. So that can happen. It's not a one-to-one. Okay, there are risks on both sides. So it's not
human sacrifice has been part of cult for millennia. You know, you sacrifice the one child also, so that you have success later.
And also I have to disagree because that take away the chance for the guy to change his life around because I say that making this decision just based on the fact that the guy at the time is not seems to be fit to be a father is kind of irrelevant somehow.
No, Jerry. I mean, come on, he was Scottish. What do you expect? Turn your life around. He's Scottish. Come on, man.
Scottish, I can tolerate. If he was an Austrian, I will have a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Cody, do you have any women that are interested in, you know, coming out to this circumcision issue? Do you have like 10% women membership, or are any of them even interested at all in the message, or is it mostly guys?
Good question, yeah. Cody has to cycle for 15 minutes to get his internet working.
Nah, he's probably working today or something.
But yes, that's a good question because in the end, whatever we are saying, the fact remains that the decision can repose solely on a woman. So whatever we are saying doesn't change this fact. So maybe the way to stop this horrible practice is to start with the woman first.
That's the way to do most things. That's the way that's access to pretty much everything, is to change.
This is why so much attention is
focused on the woman's psychology right now.
Yeah.
The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world.
Yeah. Cody.
Yeah.
He might be.
So nobody talks about the repercussions to the woman's body that happens during and after the procedure, the long-term effects of that. And there is science to that. You know, there's higher risk of breast cancer. There's higher risk of cervical and uterine cancer.
And also depression. And this shouldn't be a surprise. This woman has had a living creature in her body, entirely dependent on her for its welfare, and she's had it murdered, or killed, or removed, or whatever word you want to use for it. Any wonder that she might be suffering depression after the fact? Not to me. To me, it's pretty obvious that would happen.
it's not just a living creature. It's one specifically she was designed from time immemorial to be able to carry. She only has so many specific eggs, and the child in her specifically was unique to her, could never be in someone else.
100%.
Yes, and also one thing I will equate that to is, Ken, if you have to install a program on your computer and unplug it at the same moment, you know, you will always have some remaining files of the previous installation that you tried, if you know what I mean.
Down in the old root cellar, the old root file. Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the garden.
Yes. Yes, and also some things that can kind of pollute the machine.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Maria Lakita. I'm calling from Dubai, UAE, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yes, you are, and I think that now it's the case for almost anyone. It's Saturday, 8 June 2019, and we are with Garris, myself, and Gaia, Cody, Original Simulant, and John LeBon, and we are discussing the consequence of this horrible procedure that is circumcision, and especially on the children, because in the end, if an adult is dumb enough to want to do this, and that is its own problem.
I've got a question for you guys. I have to go soon, but it's a question for you. Like, what would you want to be the case? I mean, do you want to see laws against circumcision? Do you want to see more, like, campaigns to inform people about the consequences? I mean, what in your ideal world, how is this? Because we're in a world right now where there's still lots of people who mutilate their children, and it's justified by large bodies such as the World Health Organization. So given that that's the world that we're in, what do you want to see? What would you like to see be done about it?
A campaign will be the way to go, because I don't believe in any laws. And to be honest, I don't respect many laws myself, so I don't think that a law is the way to go. But maybe inform the people and get them to get into the population common sense that it's something awful to do. And I think that it's a great way to kind of change the world in a sense, because if people were to realize that it's something awful, we might be considering many other things, like eating meat or those kind of things, you know?
Well, let me put this out there as a thought experiment. What if there was... Actually, no, Guy Eager, I asked a question. You should... What's your take on
it? I mean, morally, I agree with Jarrett.
Well...
Morally, I agree with Jarris, but at the same time, I know, and you know, and we all know, that people are much more indoctrinated by what the law says, whatever it is, than what we say morally. I mean, arguments don't count, laws do. And that's the sad reality we live in, unfortunately. I would like to have it differently, but yeah, that's not going to happen. But what I think would be the best method is to talk to your peers, our peers, anyone in our community, in our environment, social environment, offline, online, doesn't matter, and present to them a general skepticism against the so-called medical establishment. And what I think is the best start, and that's what Cody also referred to, is using that own medical establishment against that own medical establishment. So using the published papers in so-called authoritative journals to show, listen, it is not like 100% World Health Organization that agrees with this. No, there are other people who are just as quote-unquote knowledgeable in their profession, and I think many of these people are. I mean, I'm not saying that every scientist or every doctor or every medical professional is like one Rockefeller puppet or something. No, I mean, they're very morally and socially sensitive people around there, and I think that
doctors
is the best start.
Sorry, I missed that. Are you saying that doctors are morally sensitive?
They are out there. It's not a black and white situation. They are out. I mean, you have lots of medical people who got fed up with after their studies, and they were fed up with the university, and they started their own alternative medicine business, right? I mean, that happens. It's there.
Sure, but they're a tiny little outlier, aren't they? They're not a large proportion of
people. Yeah, but in this case, I think circumcision
like not even 1% of people, as far as I'm aware. Yeah, like, not even 1% of people who go through medical school come out the other end and reject the medical industry.
Yeah, I mean, but in the
end... I don't know any personally. I've seen maybe a couple on the internet.
Okay, but in the end... If the people rely on authority, so-called authority kind of thing, then you can present them with those same kind of authority kind of thing and showing that these people, with their own knowledge, oppose the standard worldview.
Like, what I don't know is, why shouldn't these people go to prison? Once we accept that this is mutilation of an innocent infant, why should anyone involved in the practice not be dealt with the way that you would deal with anyone else who wants to mutilate infants? Why? You know, the laws, I think, without knowing the specific laws of each country, the laws, I think, would deal with people who mutilate infants pretty harshly. Why should people involved in so-called circumcision not be treated the same way? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, morally, I agree, but pragmatically, that's not going to happen. So we have to find other ways.
Also, it will take a lot of doctors into jail, and you will be hard-pressed to find anyone to cure your children of whatever disease you might have.
And the problem is that the judges who should preside over that are also circumcised, and they agree with it. So,
if I'm asking the question, why should they be dealt with any differently?
No, morally, you're completely right. I agree. You're right.
Yes,
morally, you're right. You're right.
The only place I think, I am not sure of the country, but I seem to think to be sure that it's Iceland. Iceland had a proposition of law against circumcision, but it was immediately deemed anti-Semitic and anti-religious and discriminatory and
hate speech.
Exactly, kind of hate law.
That's not true.
I mean, how sad is it that standing up for a baby, baby's life, and personal integrity is hate? I mean, how sad is that?
Yes, but then we go back to John's argument about abortion. You know, it's like really a difference of opinion in the fact that at which moment do we consider that? The fetus even is living.
Okay, but okay,
in
but
whole life I'd consider it to be alive.
Yeah, as long as I mean, alive, I'd say it's living.
Okay, that's a moral question. That's a moral question. But legally, once it's born, it's a human being legally. So these
people, corporation's a human being. I guess a corporation's a person.
No, it's a person.
We should circumcise corporation.
Yeah.
Corporation.
Maybe castrate also.
Abort, I would say, but yeah.
Do you think trans people getting like transgender? Do they? I wonder what the percentage of circumcision is on that.
That's good. A good bridge you make there, because I would like to talk about that. I don't know what, about you, John, if you're still on there, and Garris.
I will do some research. I will watch some interesting videos on Pornhub, and I will get back to you about circumcision and transgender people, if that's okay with you. But I am only doing that for the sake of science. No personal interest in that.
No, please.
Well, that's actually kind of relevant, to be serious for a moment, because when people are getting these male-to-female operations, you understand that's just mutilation as well. They're not actually getting a lady's piece. Okay, they're just... having a wound. It's just a wound that they have to tend to every day for the rest of their lives. And usually their lives aren't that long. They commit suicide usually within a couple of years, people who go through this so-called procedure. This idea that the medical industry is your friend is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yes, and John, we were speaking about the fact that being a conspiracy-minded person is a lonely life, but being... all the transgender people can be awful, I think. And it's, I will say, and I will not generalize because it will be stupid, but in my small experience in that realm of the existence, I will tend to think that gay people also are very lonely when they are old and it's something that I think the transgender will feel also, and like you said, it will end up in suicide, and the operation can cause disease, infection, and imagine how difficult it is for an old person to take care of themselves. So imagine if you have to take care of a wound, like you say, every day, and you are 70 years old, if you get to that age. Clearly, you will have problems, your life will be miserable, and the only benefit that you find at one point was maybe sexual relation, and even that, in the end, it kind of fade out, and there is no use for that anymore, you know?
Yeah, the medical industry is at the forefront of trying to claim that people who feel like they're a woman when they're a man, or vice versa, that this is some kind of medical pathology, like it's something that the medical industry can fix. I mean, this is clearly absurd, but this is the medical industry. So whenever I hear people talk about doctors as though they're moral, or the medical industry as though it's moral, I think, what is this based on? What is this nonsense based on? These are the people who assist in the removal of living beings from their mothers. These are the people who assist in that. These are people who assist people in having their body mutilated so they can pretend to be a woman or a man or this kind of thing. This is the medical industry we're talking about.
Okay, so Cody just left us. So I don't know if he will come back, so I will just give a few words to say goodbye to him. I want to thank him for his contribution. It was nice of him to be there, because I know that he has some other business to attend to, so just wanted to take a quick second to thank him, and I think that he was very knowledgeable on the subject, and he's back. So as I was saying that he was leaving, but he's there.
Repeat the question again, I'm sorry.
I'll get it going, guys. Thanks for the chat, and good luck with everything. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so that was John LeBon, and we thank him for his contribution, and hope that we have a nice day and a safe continuation to his trip in Asia.
On this transgender thing, I think that this trend, and many people here would agree, I think, is that it's a psychological problem, right? I mean, if a child of 7 years or 5 years old comes to you, your child, and says, yeah, actually, I'm a girl, I want to wear a dress or so, then you know that it's a phase, first, and second, it's a psychological problem. So you need to address a psychological problem, not a physical problem. And what is the narrative at this moment in the reality we live in is if you find a child like that and you go for the path of psychological or even psychiatrical, so using drugs, help, you are being called a transphobe. That's the term they use, right? I want to expand on that idea in a kind of semi-tongue-in-cheek way, because I also use that. Because I like to snort 5 grams of cocaine every day. And my wife comes to me and says, maybe you should seek psychological treatment for your addiction. And then I go and I say to her, you're just a coca-phobe.
Yes. And I know a lot of people that are coca-phobe.
The transgender thing is just a repetition of the same thing that happened to society and culture back in the 1940s. I mean, it's definitely it's an advertisement upon the people, and so I don't see it any other way. I mean, even the medical institutions are coming on board with the transgender agenda. So we're dealing with nefarious things coming from top down.
Yeah, I would even take it so far that I consider parents who are promoting this, even if this 5-year-old or 7-year-old boy or girl says, "Yeah, I think I'm a girl or boy, the opposite." And if they start promoting that, and if they start using their kids to display at circuses like they did in the late 1900s and so, or if they are using chemicals to actually make them like more or less like a different gender, they're not the same, a different sex, but a different gender. They're not becoming an XX from an XY or an XY from an XX chromosome kind of view. But the people, the parents who do that, I consider them at the same level as pedophiles. Abusing your child and I mean, it's not physical abuse in the directions of penetration or whatever, but it's at the same level. I consider it as bad.
It is physical abuse with penetration. Because if you use a scalpel, it's penetration in the end.
Yeah,
it's not
right.
Penetration in the sense that the people penetrating take any pleasure in it. And you can even make the case that sometimes the person doing it takes some pleasure in it. But I will say that, yes, it's also penetrating the organism of someone with a foreign object. Whichever the object is, it's still the same in the end.
Yeah, and even if it's, quote-unquote, just the mind.
Yes, but I will say that it resembles very, very closely to the definition of rape, you know?
Yeah.
Entering the body of someone with a foreign object, especially a children, it's something awful.
Yeah.
And if you cannot, it should be kept on the medical record somehow that the procedure was did without any medical needs, you know? Something like that you can refer to later to substantiate any claim that those things are stupid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there is any statistic on the circumcision medically needed versus cosmetic or philosophical or whichever way you want to call it. That would be interesting to know.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has problems, that is for sure. But the medical need for circumcision is like 1% or something like that. I mean, like, or 0.5 or something very minor, even less. And maybe they will use it and they will boost those figures for their own agenda. That may well be the case. Cody can probably shine more light on that, but. Mostly it's like what this was said, the social pressure, it's indoctrination by so-called authorities like the WHO and stuff like that. And it's not a clear medical emergency. I mean, if you have a medical emergency like any medical emergency, right? I mean, you're bleeding your ass off from somewhere. Okay, yeah, then there's a medical emergency. That's clear. There's no discussion about that. But that is just a very, very minor percentage of all the cases, I would say.
Okay, so maybe I get to say one thing. I know personally of one case that was medically needed, but the thing is that as I am using my real name on there, I don't want to get too specific, as the person involved is not informed of anything I am about to say. So let's just say that I know that sometimes on small children, the procedure is needed. Let's leave it at that.
No, of course. I mean, it's irrelevant what the name of that person is, right? I mean, it happens. It's not like some myth or so. I mean, it happens, but it's very minor, right?
Yes. It's very minor. But I just wanted to say that it happened.
Of course. I mean, the children are being born and or even a car accident or a motorcycle accident, and the medical professional says, well, you will lose your leg. I mean, that doesn't mean that in every case of an accident, you have to lose your leg, right? I mean, that's...
Your middle leg? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, your third leg, if you lose that, yeah. Bad luck, right? No, but sorry, I don't want to joke about this. This is serious stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like a third arm. Like an elephant's trunk.
Oh, the one you have in front, right?
Mastodon. They can turn a doorknob and shit. God damn.
It's good because in your car you can drive and you can play the drums at the same time, right?
Oh yeah, like that Tommy Lee movie. Yeah. Pam Anderson. Ah, man. Good time.
So, talking about
Cody, do you have any
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
You don't have free will. You have the appearance of free will.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Matty from Dusseldorf, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Why do you do a Scottish or Irish voice, Matty? Come on.
Yes, it's tough. Okay, guys. I propose you that we stop kind of on the subject of circumcision because we've been going at it for 1 hour 40 exactly, and I don't think that we could add many things to the subject.
Oh, you want to cut this off?
No. I wanted to maybe continue
come
a few
on,
minutes if you
on.
Think
no,
that
no,
that's
no,
needed,
on,
but. I wanted to switch on a lighter subject, you know.
I agree. You're snapping. Yeah.
What do you think is better? Like
yes, exactly. I'm totally snappy.
You think it's like
I cut you off and I am snappy. Exactly. No, just because I am keeping kind of a timeline and some notes on what we are saying, and I just saw that we are going for a long time, and I don't think that anything else could be said without anyone else making an intervention or whatever. I think that the main thing that could be said for this debate that was very interesting is that we very, very well missing a feminine side of the issue, I would think.
Yeah, I thought we already switched to the next topic because Russ was saying he has his trunk on top of the hood and not in the back. And he's not even driving a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah, I'll drive that Nazi shit. But for the record, would we say it's like the single turtleneck like Steve Jobs used to wear, or is it like the full-on turtleneck like Carl Sagan? Yeah. Which one is the preferred model?
I don't know. As long as you have a sweater, you are good.
I wear a hoodie, sorry.
Yes.
Okay, next subject, please.
No, it's like... let's go on to the YouTube censorship. I think that's a great one.
Yeah.
And here's the censorship.
Because a lot of things seem to be off YouTube already. A lot of channels and people can mention individual and all that. And I think that in the end, if we were honest with ourselves, at least with myself, I am honest with myself, that many of the things I said will get any YouTube channel immediately deleted.
On what basis?
9/11, Sandy Hook, media fakery.
And on what basis in that?
Because I say that it's clearly a lie and that at least in the Sandy Hook case, nobody died, nobody got hurt, at least no children.
And is that a penable offense?
Yes, it is right now.
On what basis?
I will think,
again,
I think.
On what basis?
Community guideline.
That is still not the basis. Sorry to be picky.
Well, so what is the basis?
Exactly, that is the question.
It's random, kind of.
I think part of the problem is that there's no obligation on the part of the provider to tell you what the basis is. You know.
Okay. Like, let,
But they're made.
It's like the Prisoner of Kafka. If you ever come across this book.
Yeah, yeah. It's a prisoner dilemma. But
yes.
The question is, I mean, what are we dealing with? Because the argument that defenders of this ban are using is that, yeah, well, YouTube is a private company, and they can just do whatever they want, and if you don't like it in a capitalist system, then you can just switch to another side. That is the argument they put forward. That goes wrong on many different levels. First of all, YouTube is not a company, it's a corporation, and it's part of Google, and Google was started by the military complex, so it is very statist. It's not a capitalist free market kind of situation, but okay. But the point is, in an analogy, imagine you buy a contract with a telephone company, any company, Vodafone, whatever kind of company you have there, and you have calls on your phone with other people, you talk about things, and then the company says, suddenly, yeah, we changed our guidelines and policies, and now, if you talk about certain subjects on our phone lines that we operate, then we will cut you off, and you are terminated your contract, and you cannot talk about those kind of things. I think that is a better analogy to what is happening here in this YouTube ban. What's your idea about that?
How's it different? I mean, they both travel on the telephone line, or, well, you know, so to speak, right? So,
I mean, the question is, of course, to what extent can a company change its guidelines suddenly and radically that you cannot discuss certain topics anymore?
To the full extent of the law, which say that a private company, because even if we agree that it's not totally privately owned, the fact is that for the public eye, it is privately owned. So they can do whatever they want under the guide of the law. And the law, it's relatively new because it's a new business in the end. So I think that the law has still not caught up to that. And as I said, they pay for the server, they pay for the bandwidth, so it's virtuous in the end. That's why I really like the model that Ab put together of having his own website and getting on as many media as possible, because in the end it will all end up the same thing. Even what we are seeing right now on Discord, I don't know if a year from now we will still able to do those kind of things. Who knows?
Sure. But the business model, the official business model of YouTube is that they get money from advertisements. So imagine the case that 90% of the YouTube watchers, which is not the case, but imagine it, would like to see all that content that is now forbidden and all the revenue coming from advertisements related to that, then actually it's a very bad business decision if you would say, no, you're not allowed to talk about that, and you're not allowed to questioning 9/11 or the Holocaust story, or you're even not allowed to express certain views about certain people because it is hate speech or any kind of that stuff. But in the case, even if there would be 90% people doing that, then it doesn't make any sense from a business point of view. Of course, that's not the case, so they can use that as an argument. Yeah, it's just a marginal group of the YouTube community, so yeah, we don't care. I mean, most of the people will watch cat videos anyway, right?
Yes, and the point is that we don't care about the cat video. You know, okay. So we don't really need YouTube in the end to access what we want. So that's why I praised Ab for what he put together just before. That's because I think that's the way to go in the end. And as time go by, all those things might come to be cheaper and cheaper to have access to a greater
It's already free. It's already free everywhere, basically.
I mean, Jerris, I want to talk about that, but please, Russ, please, you first.
Well, your model, first of all, supposes that, like, any the business has something to do with making money, which doesn't seem to be the case with a lot, especially a lot of this tech crap. But further, that, like, that there's some kind of rights issue at play, that, like, freedom of speech, is this the idea? Like, is being violated or something? Because
no, and that is the point that many opponents make, and that's also not right, because freedom of speech, how it's defined, more or less, is like a contract between us, the people, and the government.
No, it's a contract between the press, the government, yeah, and the government. It's between the press, not people, but like the press. The public means the state, and private means the people, you know, or individuals. So something's publicly owned, you know, well, then that means the state owns it. And if it's privately owned, it means some corporation owns it, and the state owns all the corporations too, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. And the freedom of speech stuff is really not, it's not there to protect the common person whose speech really isn't important. It's to protect the corporations and their ability to broadcast whatever information they so want to. That means them that have the freedom of the press, them that have the freedom of expression, not us. We enjoy it kind of as a default from that, but
it's funneled down through the filter of the company guidelines and so on.
Right. I mean, you know, it's like, why doesn't every newspaper print every opinion, every position on every story? Well, they...
Yeah. Well, why don't they? Post 9/11, yeah.
Yeah, because they don't want to, right? Like, it's like when, if you could, can you imagine you want to go talk about 9/11 somewhere and all they want to talk to you about is fucking dinosaurs being fake or something. It's like, god damn, you know, I'm trying to make my 9/11 paper here, not fake dinosaurs. Do you have the right to ignore their stuff or whatever? I mean,
that's a very good point. Yeah,
there's no like freedom of speech only goes so far, or that idea of it anyway. And YouTube is, I mean, it provides everything. The person just provides their own fat ass, and maybe, you know, the
like what Jerris was sharing, 10-hour watching a mirror or something like that. The bullshit.
Yes, exactly. But need a mic and a camera to make money.
Yeah, but the point is, we end up in an idiocracy where these kind of videos are not banned because they're not talking about real stuff and real interesting issues and challenging the mainstream views. So that will be promoted, and the people who are talking about things, and even now, still, we can talk about things if we don't mention certain groups of people, or if we don't, in the end, they can use a joystick for hate speech to everything, but there is still some freedom. But my point, please, the rest, you first.
There's plenty of conspiracy stuff still on YouTube. Plenty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
And there's plenty of it about even the most taboo of conspiracy stuff. So I think there might not be the particular one that I like the most or something, but I think this has more to do with social engineering, obviously. And like, but more social engineering, the creative force. So four of us make videos, right? And, for some reason, one of our channels gets banned. It could be that we're telling too much truth, or it could be that the studio, the algorithms, which we might call the studio execs, say that I could be doing better at making different kind of videos. But the predictive model says that I'm not going to quit making these kind of videos until something spurs me to do so. You know, that I'm locked into a network of that's plateaued, basically.
But the problem is, and I want to answer Jerry's point, is, okay, Ab has his own channel, and we have our own niche community where we can hang out and we can talk about things, and we can publish material still. It's not, like, completely banned. Okay, that's true. But what it means is that mainstream people who are potential, let's say, clients of us, like, potentially waking up to something, are being restricted, and that is an effect which we cannot deny. Even
maybe well, they might be getting access by trimming the bush. You might be giving them access to better materials easier. That's the other thing.
Yes, maybe
that could be possible. I can't say that it is, and maybe it's unlikely, but it's not something that can be ruled out.
How did we end up here, all of us? We started with Alex Jones, David Icke, with some video, with something that triggered us, or something like that. And there are so many people out there that are still on that potential client base kind of thing. They are still there. And it's not like we are all awake and they're all asleep and stupid and sheeple. That's not, this black and white situation not. Doesn't exist, right?
We lose
that potential client base. That is the problem. And that, even though it's our own thing.
I will compare it to the situation of a guy that will own a cafe, and some guy is drinking a cafe and talking to the customers about 9/11 and, pissing out everybody. And the guy, the owner of the shop, just say, okay, so you must go now and I will not serve you here anymore because I don't like what you are saying and my customers are not about that. And in the end, that is right. There is not really many things you could say about the fact that this is his right, you know? Not that I agree
great.
About the...
I mean, it is great you use that comparison because I use it as well as a argument against this YouTube thing. Because
it is the value of rights.
That is not the situation we are in. If there is a bar, cafe that puts a sign out for Juden verboten or I don't want niggers in my place, then you can go to the next bar and nothing really changes. That is not the case with YouTube. YouTube has such a monopoly over 153 News, BitChute, or other alternatives that are out there. It is completely skewed. It's not the same thing. You cannot compare the two things.
Maybe in my preference, there would be no such thing as YouTube. I think the world would be better without the damn thing. Far better. By a factor of a billion. The world would be better without YouTube. So if this caused it to fail, I mean, that'd be terrific for me. But
but that's not the case. We know it's not.
No, it's not. It's clearly not the case because failure isn't even in its cards as Susan B. Anthony said, failure is not even an option. So.
I mean, of course, there will be an alternative. I mean, Facebook was hit in 2008, and now it's Discord and YouTube and Instagram or so, yes. And in 10 years there will be something thing. Else. Yeah, the thing is that the same process will happen there, because we have seen it. With Facebook, the same thing. Hateful, quote-unquote hateful posts, some of them are really hateful and stupid, but still, even though they're stupid, people should have the right to express themselves, right?
They do have the right to express themselves. They do. No one's taking their right to express themselves.
But not on their platform. That's the thing.
You can't come to my, you can't talk to my house and tell me my wife's a bitch. Yeah. I mean, you just can't do it.
That's true.
You
know,
you might get to do it once, but you're not coming back to do it, you know?
Yeah, and I think that is a false comparison. That's my point.
You don't know my wife. Yeah, I think you.
Oh, you're too smart for this, man. No.
But realistically, what you're saying about David Icke and stuff is that it kind of presupposes that these are the shepherds to get people to there. But it might be that it's time for those guys to retire, and now it's more effective.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Nobody steps in. Nobody steps in from a 100% mainstream believer, like we all have been, to fakeologists. Come on, that is not going to happen.
No, and they shouldn't, probably.
Yes,
right.
And that's why we don't really need YouTube in the end. We don't really need that access, because I don't think that, at least from the people that came here since I got there, I think it was in the beginning of March, maybe, I don't think that anyone... came from YouTube specifically, from say that I find this on a YouTube channel or whatever. People really came from a GLB site, a Discord server, or
that is not the point. That is not the point. The point is that they went through a certain evolution of finding out about stuff.
And yes, but that's because I will say that the case for anyone, if you were to be like a young person and start to making a business and it make a lot of money, you know, it grow faster than your understanding of what is happening is growing, you know. So in the end, you might end up with a platform and full of content that you didn't mean to be there at first. And I think that it's your right to remove it. The problem is that there is a monopoly, like you were saying, and that is the real problem, to find a way to break the monopoly.
There has to be a monopoly. Exactly. I mean, they have to exist in these environments. You can't not have... The ideas about like trust, monopoly stuff is just too vast right now. It's not even almost like a non-issue. And what are you supposed to do? When the so-called monopolies got so-called broken up, it only made them stronger.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dream, I have a
plan. We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Twitter at Mark Manuel, and I recommend that you check out Fakeologist.com.
I want to make another comparison, and it is another company which started small, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then, of course, the social engineering crypting. And I used to like it, and I used this company and this service a lot. I still do. Well, not anymore today, but I would use it still. But they also changed their guidelines and their policies drastically from one day to the other. And they have that right as a private company and blah, blah, blah. But it has a big effect. And that is Airbnb. Last year, there was an email sent out that as a host, I'm not a host of Airbnb. I have only used Airbnb as a customer, but not as a host. But you cannot... anymore, you cannot refuse a transgender person, for instance. You have to accept, you cannot
you can't
deny access.
Discriminate based on race, gender,
age. I mean, in the end, of course, there's race around. Say, yeah, I'm full and stuff. I mean, you can do that still, of course. But,
Huh? How could you say you're full? I mean, it tracks you right there. You know, it can show you got an occupancy or not. I guess you could take your ad down, but you know.
No, but yeah, okay. Maybe in the U.S. it works differently, but here it's. I mean, here they can tell you anything, even if you already booked it. Really, I mean.
I mean, you cancel it or something. I see. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, of course, that you cannot make your own choice about your own house using a service which other people provide to you. That's true. But even then, you cannot say, I don't want transgender people. For instance, that was one of the points they specifically mentioned in that email.
No, comrade, you can't. This is, you know, your house isn't your house. But
am I a coca-phobe if I don't want coke-sniffing Israelis coming here? Because that is happening a lot in Colombia, especially in August. I mean...
Isn't the whole point of Airbnb to be able to, like, transfer narcotics easier? Just drop them off and the next guy comes and he looks the next night and he picks it up? I mean, isn't that the whole purpose of the business in the first place?
No, but, I mean, the question isn't good. I mean, how far can companies go to change their guidelines and policies from one day to the other? And the people defending this at this moment with YouTube, or with Airbnb, or with other companies, with Facebook, or whatever, they cannot protest to something that hurts them as a person later on. And that is this compliance that they are socially engineering on us. And that, I think, is the big issue. It's not about the Holocaust story or Nazi bullshit people. No, that's just a symptom. It is about the deeper issue is how companies, and mostly they are corporations, so they're not really private, but how can they change their guidelines and policies from one day to the other? That is, I think, the real issue here. And the compliance of us with that.
You read their guidelines, and the whole thing is incoherent on all of it.
It is.
You can't figure out who the user is, what the content is, who the provider is, what service means, what access is granted to what, when, what are your third-party partners, and what are your non-third-party partners, what are your affiliates, what are your future uses. You know, none of this shit makes any sense, and it's all self-referential. And your whole process for arbitrage is spelled out right in there, in that you have to, you have to appeal to some fucking firm in Switzerland to write them a physical letter. To try to get some information about it or closure on the issue or even file some kind of complaint in the first place.
When this happened to App, it was a couple of months ago, that he got a strike on his WordPress site. It was not on YouTube, not on BitChute, it was his WordPress blog site. They referred to the terms and conditions. And I read those terms and conditions. I mean, normally I never read those, and that's also my fault.
All.
And that's I know you're
sarcastic. They'll say the same thing.
You know? But that's how it works. We don't read it. But then, when it happened, I read it, and nowhere in those whole terms and conditions there was anything bannable for apps content. And it was about this video, I think it was the video on the New Zealand shooter, right? And there was nothing in there. What they said is they used it as not in the terms and conditions page, but in the email or in the message. It said, yeah, you cannot glorify violence. That was, along those lines. It was not the exact term, but you cannot glorify violence. Yeah, okay, but sharing a video about a violent act, so-called violent act, is not glorifying it. It's not promoting violence or so. No, you just share it for informational purposes. Everybody can make of it what they want. But if you ask now, on the stand, maybe not now at 11:30, during the day, you ask people on the street, do you want to glorify violence, and do you think that it is good that companies take down pages that glorify violence? Most people will say, yeah, of course. I mean, it's bad. No, we shouldn't do that. At the same time, they're watching Hollywood movies where Muslims are slaughtered by the millions. But okay, that is a different thing, apparently. But hello? You went to bed already? What's wrong?
No. It's 6:30 almost right now.
Yeah, there's no problem.
No, but that's why I wanted it to do later, because it will be easier to have more people on.
I don't know. I think 6 o'clock my time is best to start.
Maybe that's what we do next week, but it's been great, and great about the YouTube censorship. But like you were saying, it's the right of corporation to modify the system. But if you were to change your tire, and you go Monday to change your tire, and you go Tuesday to pick up the car, and you say okay, but the conditions have changed, so now we will not get new tire on your cars, and you can take your business somewhere else. So you go somewhere else, you take your business, and there is no problem. But in the case of YouTube, it's a bit different, because there is not that many other business.
The thing of YouTube is that it's a massive mind control operation. That's the real problem with YouTube, you know. Because, like, I mean, it's like a freaking self-tailored hypnotic machine.
Yeah, it's Orwellian.
So to expect anything else from it other than what it does is, you know, I don't know. It's not going to ever meet those things, you know. All it's going to do is confuse the fuck out of people, mind control them, you know, and then mind control them some more. Push whatever agenda. I mean, it's like the public, it's like TV, but super TV. So, but I gotta get off here too before my wife starts yelling at me again. Because you know what I said earlier. So whatever. Keep that on the.
Yeah, she's a bitch. Sorry.
Nah, well, hey, don't, you can't say that shit. Jesus Christ.
Okay, that was it. That was quick. Now, but what bothers me, Jairus, are you still there? Benoit?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay. Yeah, what bothers me is the compliance of people. That is what bothers me. The compliance that, yeah, no, it's okay. Just like what we talked about, circumcision and vaccinations, transgender still has kind of a lot of protest, but also that a lot of people also who are not transgender at all and they don't have anything to do with it, and still they vehemently protest in favor of so-called authority. And I think that is what is really the issue. The authority, if you go to like a tire shop, what you said, and changing a tire or fixing a tire or a new tire or whatever, it costs like €100, let's say, right? And then you go next week and suddenly it's €10,000. I mean, there are laws against that, even if we don't agree with laws and all that stuff. But still, there is some protection against such a thing. And your example, okay, you can go to another tire shop. But what if that other tire shop, and that is what is happening, also charges €10,000 suddenly? Because it was first Facebook, now it's YouTube, and then it's Instagram, and then it's WordPress, and then it's Discord, and then it's, I mean, it is restricting our space where we can express our ideas, which are not hateful and which are not discriminatory or racist or anything. No, it's just a different point of view than most people. That is the comparison then I would make, is that all kinds of tire shops are going to make it €10,000. And the access to the tire shops where it's still €100 gets much harder. I mean, they are somewhere in some basement, somewhere in a dangerous neighborhood.
Humans do some really interesting things. Like, besides killing ourselves, we also kill each other. Murder. And we're the only ones who do that, by the way. We're the only species on Earth that deliberately kills members of our own species for personal gain. Or pleasure. Sometimes it's just fun. We're also the only species that deliberately kills members of another species for personal gain. Or pleasure. That's what hunters do. They kill for pleasure. That's us. Human beings. Interesting folks. Murderers. Here's an interesting form of murder we come up with. Assassination. You know what's interesting about assassination? Well, not only does it change those popularity polls in a big fucking hurry, but it's also interesting to notice who it is we assassinate. Do you ever notice who it is? Stop to think of who it is we kill. It's always people who've told us to live together in harmony and try to love one another. Jesus, Gandhi, Lincoln, John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, John Lennon. They all said, try to live together peacefully. Bam! Right in the fucking head. Apparently we're not ready for that. Yeah, that's difficult behavior for us. We're too busy thinking around, sitting around trying to think up ways to kill each other. Here's one we came up with. It's efficient, too. Genocide, you know? Killing large numbers of people simply because they don't look like you, they don't talk like you, and they don't have the same kind of hats you do. You ever notice that anytime you see two groups of people? Hats are good, they're wearing different kind of hats. Keep an eye on that. It might be important. But anytime there's genocide, there are always mass graves. Right? Every time we kill some dictator and go marching through his country, we always find mass graves. Thousands and thousands of dead bodies of people a dictator killed. And everybody over here gets horrified. Wow, mass graves, wow. Well, shit, what's a guy supposed to do with a couple thousand people he just killed? Dig separate holes? Fuck that shit. It's labor intensive. Get real. The whole idea of killing a large number of people at one time in one place is convenience. Efficiency. Throw them in the fucking hole. Look at it this way. At least the dictator had the decency to throw a little dirt on them. Give the guy some credit. Dictator's a busy man. Got a lot on his mind. Like trying to figure out who's planning to kill him. So he can pick them up, put them in prison, and torture them. Here's another one of our interesting, heartwarming behaviors we came up with. Somewhere along the way, torturing each other. You want to hear a really cool torture that the Romans invented? They also used it as a form of capital punishment. It's really creative. They would take the guy in question, stuff him in a burlap sack, seal the sack up real tight, and throw it in the river. But, and here's the creative part, inside the sack with the guy, they would put a dog, a monkey, and a snake. Okay? A dog, a monkey, and a snake. That's fucking creative. Imagine being inside a burlap sack underwater in the dark, sitting next to a drowning monkey. Think he'd be moving around a little bit? The dog would be going apeshit, we know that. And the snake, well, he'd probably be getting curious about what all the activity was inside the sack. He might do anything. But whatever he did, it would probably involve venom and his teeth. You know what you'd be doing? You'd be praying to God that the snake bit the monkey and the dog ate the snake. Praying. Yeah, then it would be just you and the dog. Man and his best friend. Drowning together. Maybe before you died, you could teach him a few tricks. Roll over and play dead wouldn't be too difficult, would it? Just a thought. Just a playful thought. By the way, I assume you're noticing that all these activities I'm mentioning, murder, torture, genocide, these are all things human beings do. Not animals, those creatures we feel superior to. This is us. Here's another one of our spiritually uplifting activities. We don't do this one much anymore, but it used to be really big. Human sacrifice. I miss that. The Aztecs loved human sacrifice, and they were good at it. Well, they got a lot of practice. For instance, right around the year 1500, the Aztecs sacrificed 80,000 people in one ceremony. Okay? 80,000 people, one ceremony. You know what the occasion was? They were opening a new temple. Nothing like religion for a little entertainment, huh? Especially that old-time religion. Know how the Aztecs went about their sacrificing? Here's how they did it. They would do it right out in public, right in front of everybody, big town, beautiful city square, 20, 30,000 people looking on. They would take the guy, lay him on an altar, cut his chest open, pull his heart out, and hold it up in the air while it was still beating. Got that? Cut his chest open, pull his heart out, and hold it up in the air while it was still beating. You know what you call that? Theater. That is fucking theater. And although the procedure may have been a little too crude to be considered the first bypass surgery, it could easily be seen as an early form of organ donor program. The Aztecs, human beings, just like us. Not too long ago, 500 years, Columbus had already landed. This is just south of here, Mexico. And by the way, those hearts didn't go to waste. Did not go to waste. Because right after the ceremonies, the royal family, naturally, would enjoy another one of our amusing activities, cannibalism. Cannibal, imagine that, chowing down on another human being. You got to be all out of beef jerky, man. You got to be really fucking hungry. But it happens, doesn't it? Still happens to this day. Bunch of people stranded in the wilderness, run out of Pop-Tarts, got to eat something. Might as well be Steve. And how do you decide who to eat first? How do you decide who's first on the barbecue rack? Do you pick on the little guy because he's skinny and he can't fight back? Or do you all gang up on the bodybuilder because he got a lot of steaks and chops on him? These are things human beings have to consider. One more of these charming diversions of ours. Necrophilia. Huh?
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Fucking
corpse. I'm Brent McManus from howtotakecareofyourpenis.wordpress.com. And you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Takes a special kind of guy, don't you think? But it happens. It happens. More than you might think. It happens among humans. Animals don't do that. Animals don't fuck their dead. A rat will do a lot of gross things, but he will not fuck a dead rat. It wouldn't even occur to him. Only a human being would think to fuck someone who just died. We gotta be the most interesting critters on the planet. And then we wonder why a UFO doesn't just land and say hello.
Some good thoughts of George again, and actually pretty relevant. Gareth, do you want to have some final words for tonight?
Yes, I wanted to thank everyone that listened, everyone that participated, and thank in advance everyone that will react to that. And thank everyone, and I think that it was great, and we had some good debate, and some good shoulder rubbing also, which is always great. And I think we all did make some great points, so just wanted to say bye everyone, and have a nice day.
Yeah, thank you, Jerish, for organizing this great chat. It was absolutely great, I would say. And we had lots of good thoughts and exchanges of thoughts, different viewpoints, and still we're on the same page. That's the thing. I mean, we can write.
Yes, and we all remain civil, and except for a few moronic accusations thrown out, but.
No, but
that's all we love him in the end.
I mean, to use a metaphor, I mean, we're all on the same page. We just use different fonts.
Yes, exactly. That is a great way to end this show. So have a good morning, I think. Night it is for you. It will
11,
be almost
11:42. 11:43 yes. Now. So yes, okay. Thank you. Have a good sleep, man.
Yes, thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
And bye everyone, you have been listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Remember, I love you. I know you love me too. I wish you didn't have to go now. Write to me.
It will be greatly appreciated, everyone. Bye bye.
Hi, Fakeologist. I'm Louis from Geneva, Switzerland. And I have to approve that everything that this guy, Benoit Claire, talk about, it's true. And it's the best I hear until now. See you guys. Carry on. Do the same. Kiss.
That's all, folks.